It's very special to be here in the Masifta, named after a Rebbe of mine. Rabbi Yitzchak Tendel, Zechein Livracha, was my Rebbe, and just sort of a snapshot of the person that I remember, and I think everybody who passed through the shir remembers, is his tremendous chedvas and ishmaitza, his tremendous joy and simcha in learning. He would be sitting there with a big stack of sfarim, and you could see him learning the Gemara and coming up with akasha and looking very worried, and his brow was furrowed. He would start looking through the sfarim, one sefer, another sefer, another sefer, and at some point either he would find a teretz or he would think of a teretz that struck him, and his entire being would just light up, and he would beam from ear to ear, and his eyes would be full of joy, and then he would go around telling people the teretz. That sight of Simchas HaTorah, of Chedvas HaDeshmaitze, was extraordinary, and it's a sight that evoked in us a tremendous cheshek to learn. There is nothing as contagious as a sense of simcha and a thrill, and Baruch Hashem, we were zocha to have that. And every time I come to this Beis Medrash, refurbished Beis Medrash now, it reminds me of that scene, of that snapshot I have of him. We laid Pasha Shlach yesterday, and the summer is coming up, and I think there's a nekuda here, a very important mitzvah that's really relevant to us, and that is mitzvah tzitzis. The Gemara in Menachos Mem Daled goes through about somebody who found an extraordinary zonah and paid a lot of money and went through a lot of effort to find her, and then as he began to get ready, the tzitzis came and smacked him on his face, and he basically desisted. So Chazal over here are pointing out how important mitzvah tzitzis is, that they're capable of preventing a person from doing even a difficult aveira. It's not clear in the Gemara what is it about the school of tzitzis that is so unique. It's a tremendous mitzvah. It reminds a person of all the mitzvahs. That's good. But it's hard to believe that anybody who's out to do an aveira of znus happened to forget the Sifre Shacharuch, the Simen Eveza that speaks about the Arayas. I don't think it's a question of forgetting a halacha. It's a phenomenally strong taiva, and having a pair of tzitzis, what does it evoke in the person? There's nothing there in minds of Gehenim. What exactly is the school of tzitzis that it can protect a person from such a terrible avera? The Medrash here gives a mashal. It says mashal le'echod mushlach etoch hamayim. Somebody is cast into water. Hoishet ha'kabernita sechevel. The captain throws out a rope. Va'omle tells him tfois chevel zeh biyot v'altanicheyu. Grab onto this rope and don't let go of it. She'im tanicheyu in l'chachayim. If you let go of it, you're going to die. Af kach omer lahem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kal Yisrael, kol zman shem dukbokim b'mitzvis, v'atem adveikim Hashem l'keichem, chayim kulchem ayoyim. So long as you are davik in mitzvis, so long as you're davik in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, chayim kulchem ayoyim. V'cheinu oimer, hachzik b'musa al teref, nitzura ki chayecha. So Chazal seemed to give us a mashal over here, that this tzitzis is like this rope that's being cast over, and that is what is saving us. Chazal are not, today we understand Mishalim are sort of entertainment value. A speaker has to speak, he has to entertain. A nice mashal is entertaining, that's that. Chazal used Mishalim Midarkei Chachma to help give us an understanding of things that are hard to understand without a mashal. So, the mashal seems to be simpler than simple. The mashal of a rope is a lifeline. Mitzvahs, tzitzis especially, I guess tzitzis is like a rope, it's a string, and that's a lifeline. Very nice. Is there anything is there anything that the mashal really, really illuminates for us and gives us any type of understanding that we wouldn't understand without it? It's a lifeline. You hold on to it. You hold to the world of mitzvahs, the world of chayim. There's nothing here in the mashal that seems to enlighten me that I wouldn't have had without this chazal. And Chazal did not give us just stories. Chazal, each point that they made is giving us an understanding, is illuminating something. One more Gemara. The Gemara by Yosef HaTzadik, it says, when he went in to do the, when he went in by Eshes Potiphar, it says, Vayikai Mazev Yov HaBayis Elazes Melachtoi, Rabbi Yochanan says that he actually came to do the Avera. In other words, his intention was to sin with her. His father's image came to him in the window. Amalei said, Yosef, asidin achicha sheyichtavu al avne eifoid v'ata b'nehem sheikosvu. Your brethren are going to someday be inscribed on the avne eifoid, and you're meant to be part of it. Do you want to be erased and be known as the Roa Zonos? Miyad Vatosha Basin Kashtoi, and so on. So Chazal over here tell us that Yosef actually intended to do the Avera. He was overcome by Taiva. His father came to him in a chalon, and he told him, listen, your brothers are going to be all inscribed in the ephod, and you're meant to be there also. Do you want to be erased from that? And that's it. So this chazal leaves us puzzled a few things. First of all, yes, it's true, people like Kina, people like Ikavid, and that's fine. Maybe not so fine, but people like Kavid anyway. But it's hard to believe that a person would forego taiva when he's in the throes of taiva for a little covet. This event about being in the Avnei Eifod was hundreds and hundreds of years in the future. Maybe even 1,000 years. A few hundred years in the future. The taiva was now, and you know it's very hard to believe that if somebody's out to do an avera, running to an avera, we tell them, listen, you always get mafter yoina, you're not going to get mafter yoina. No, I don't have a hard time believing that people would actually stop doing it. The second thing is, let's assume yes. So that's not saying a lot about Yosef HaTzadik. I wouldn't call him a tzadik because of that. You know, neither Kina nor Taiva nor Kavit are great. So the question is just, did he have more cheshek for Kavit or more cheshek for Taiva? I mean, not a very, very big, difference in terms of godless on them. Would you call him a tzadik? Oh, fine. So, yes, halachically, Kavod doesn't have really a, there's no Isurim. This is a terrible Isur. So you'd switch one for the other. But I certainly would think twice before calling him a tzadik and so on. So why is he Yosef a tzadik? There's also very interesting Taisus over here. Taisus says, it says his father appeared to him in a window. So Taisus over here, it brings Yerushalmi, and so on. The Tema says, "Ktsas min nolon de nirsto b'chaloin." How do you know it was a window? V'shemid achsi b'bayis demasha b'bayis loy. So avol b'chaloin hoya. So what's the? It says there's nobody with him together in the bayis. So it must have been a chalon. Is it really? I mean, it seems almost nitpicking a detail. Chazal tells us he's doing something. I was there. The Gemara does say chalon, which is interesting. I mean, when a person has a fancy, it wasn't real. It was an image. So that image. Wherever he wished it to be, that's where it was. That. it's the problems with this Gemara over here. So let's take a look at a Rambam. And and we're going to learn up a Rambam in Hilchos Deos that gives us an extraordinary understanding of human nature and what motivates us and how we act. The Rambam in Perek Shishi in Hilchos Deos speaks, he says like this: Derech bri osay shal adam li yasnimshach b'dei oisav o v'maisav achareya v'chaverov v'noheg b'minhag anshe b'nei ratzay. So people tend to read it as one unit. People are affected by other people, influenced by other people. Then the Rambam says, "Lefikoch yast mischabet tzadikim menater shoyim, vechelim hoye medina shoyim." He says, "Roim rashi nochem darchi shoyim." You have to go a different makom. The Rambam, it's not one sentence. It's two separate sentences, two separate ideas. One is, the Rambam just gotten through explaining the first few prokim, how a person on his own is supposed to try to better himself and to make himself a better person, and so on. That's up to here. Now the Rambam says, the Rambam speaks in Hilchos Deos about a person has an innate nature that he has to work on, and a person also is brought up in a certain way, and there's certain feedbacks and certain training and upbringing that affects a person. But the Rambam says something else here also. The Rambam says a person is affected by other people. Yes, so if my friends badger me to do something, or I want to be on my friend's good side, or my friends keep telling me to do this or that, those are things that affect me. There is another nekuda that affects a person, and that is the society that he is part of. And this is what the Rambam says. When the Rambam says, "Lefikach, tzarech Adam lischaber letzadikim," he says, "V'noheg b'minhag anshe b'nei ratzay." A stam person is noheg b'minhag anshe b'nei ratzay. A person's default actions are the actions of people in a society. A person who lives in America, is going to act American. He's going to eat with a fork and a knife. He's going to see his sense of right and normalcy and default behavior is society around him. That's how God created us, that we be like the society around us. If a person lives in China or in Ghana or wherever it is, he acts like other people, and that is his normal behavior. In other words, society around us creates the framework for normal behaviors. That is, so there are two inyanim here. There's the inyan of being mushba, but there's a much deeper inyan that my normal behavior, my sense of right and wrong, and my default setting will be a society around me. That's what the Rambam says here. So therefore, the Rambam says two things. I need to stick to good people and not be mushra bad people. I also need to live in a place that people are where the society as a whole is a good society. If not, it's not just a question that any individual will be mashpia on me. My sense of what is normal and what is right, what's normal dress? I look around me, and that's my default setting. I could be frumer, I could be less frum, but what's the right setting is that. So we have a very important and crucial fact in determining what a person is and his behavior and so on. But let's use a mashal. Imagine I'm an American ambassador to some far out country, to Mali, to Madagascar, and I come there. I obviously don't feel an inclination to be like anybody. I'm an American and I have to interact with people and so on. But my customs and so on, even though I am there, but my activities and everything about it are somewhere from somewhere else. I don't have I don't feel that I'm part of the society. Let's say I've been there for a while and decide it's wonderful there and I'm going to stay there. So now I've mentally and emotionally made an adjustment and said, this is my society and I'll stop being like that. So long as I'm the American ambassador, I'm not part of the society. I may be there, but I'm part of something else and some different environment and part of a different society. That is the difference whether I will try to integrate or not. So the determination of who I am, where I am, what I'm part of, is going to be the first and the default setting of my normal behavior. I may veer, I may, you know, I may do something that I know is wrong, but my question is, what's my sense of right and wrong? My sense of right and wrong is determined by the society I come from. So let's go back to the Chazal and the Gemaras and so on. The mitzvah of tzitzis. So a person is a neshama that came down to this world and is now living in a framework, and you know, the framework that I'm conscious of is a physical framework of a chamistic world, and that would determine my normal behavior. This is who I am. This is what I do. Now, I come and I will act chumriistic. I will act with my physical inclination and so on, because that's who I am, that's what I am. Chazal gave that mashal in the Medrash, that it is like a person in water who is being held with a rope to the ship. People cannot live in water. The Gemara says, you know, that even people on ships, this is called Nechoisi Yama, Nomisiasim Adatayo, until they come back to the solid ground, to terra firma, because water is not a place for human habitation. People don't live there. People are not part of that society. So a person in water cannot live. There's a ship, which is a piece of land. If the person holds onto the ship, he's part of the ship. He's by extension an appendage of the ship, and the qualities of the ship apply to him. That is what a rope tethering you to the ship does for you. So Chazal are explaining the deeper dynamic here is there is water and there is land. It's a person cannot survive in water. Period. A person, as long as he holds on to land, even via rope, he's part of that. And the mitzvah tzitzis, keshokul kenei kulam, not just to remind you all the halachas of all of them. Keshokul means tzitzis implies a ruchnistic world. The full complement of mitzvahs are ruchnistic world, and they are that which a person holds on to. So let's think a little bit. Let's even give a little bit of a sense of what the mitzvah is like. I have a beged. The beged is a woven, interconnected threads. So the beged is solid. Out of this beged, solitary fibers come out. A fiber is not part of the beged. It's not woven to the beged, but it can be knotted onto the beged. And as long as it's knotted and connected to it, it is by extension part of the beged. So long as tzitzis are kosher tzitzis, they're part of the beged, and I can walk with it on Shabbos, and it's not carrying. Tzitzis become puzzle, there's a problem of carrying, because they're no longer part of the beged, they're strings, they're not part of the beged. So the mitzvah of tzitzis is this nekuda of having something which on the one hand is not really part of the beged, but can hold on to the beged, even if it is not part of the beged. That, now, let's go back to the points raised in the Chazal over here, both by Yosef HaTzadik and the story with this person in Menachos. A person, the Gemara says that if a person eats in Rishus HaRabim, he's Pasul Eidus. Rashi says because if he's not embarrassed, what's going to stop him? In other words, most of the things that we do that are right, or better said, most of the things that are wrong that we stay away from, it's because our sense of right and wrong tells us it's wrong. It's not because there's a book, or just we have a sense of it. And the social framework that we're in is the prime determinant of what we see as right and wrong. That's a very important point. Now, so long as a person is connected to the world that is right and good, that's how he's going to act. And therefore, let's go back to Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef HaTzadik's big nisayon didn't start with the taiva. It started with his identity. Is he a Yisrael who happens to be in capture in the land of Mitzrayim? Or has he become a Mitzri? His family has cut him off. They have cast him away and cut him off. Rashi brings in the end of Baruch Kosai that a person will say, "Hoyel v'Rabbi Avad Avad Zara." Since my master's worship Avad Zara, I'll also worship Avad Zara. He's being polarized. I'll be polarized. Simchal Shabbos. I'll be Chal Shabbos. Was that a heter? No. The answer is, listen, I'm gone. I'm not Yisrael. I'm part of this. This is my world. My world is I'm a slave to a guy. If I'm a slave to a guy, I'm a guy, and that's who I am. It's natural for me to feel that way. So by Yosef HaTzadik, his big nisayon was to decide who he is, what is he, and when he had this this vision of Dimus Yukna Shel Aviv, it meant that down deep he was connected, and his father told him, you are still part of the Shvatim. Your name is going to be on the for everybody else. This is who you are. You're one of the Shiftei Ka. And that's, I think, why the word Chalon was so emphasized. In his room and his immediate environment, he wasn't. He was a Mitzri. He was locked into Mitzrayim. But there was a window and an opening to something outside. And that something outside connected him. That was the rope, so to speak. He wasn't in the garment now, but he was connected to the rope. And the way in which his father expressed it was, he said, "Do you want to lose it or not?" And that's how he that's how he held on to it. It wasn't the cover of being a rebel. It was the sense of being there. He reconfirmed to him who he was, and then Mela, once he was one of Shiftei Ka, that then he acted like Shiftei Ka, and he acted like the tzaddik of them. I want to share an interesting story which goes into tremendous understanding of Koach HaNefesh. There was a person named Reb Gadol Eisner. He was one of the he was probably the biggest mechanech in Ger. He survived the war. He rebuilt Ger and Chinuch aspect there to Israel. He was the Mashgiach, Mashpia in Sfas Emes, in Sfas Nechdu Sherim, Tel Aviv. And he was from the biggest Mashpiyim in Ger and the rebuilders of Ger Yeshiva and so on. The whole philosophy and ideology. He was a phenomenal Pikeach. And there was, after the war, he was for a few years in Europe, in Eastern Europe. They had some sort of yeshivas and tried to bring people to, you know, to put together whatever was there to everybody get out. There was still a lack of clarity what would happen. And one of his former bachrim came to him and he said, "Rebbe," he said, "you know, I'm engaged." I said, "Oh, very nice." So the bachrim said, "But actually, she's a goya. She's a Polish goya." So Gadol told him, "Listen, as far as halacha goes, I have to tour adoch. It's a very difficult Indian. I have to go through the halachas again to tell you a clear halachic tshuva. But it's not an asik for chassidish bacha. It's not the appropriate shita for chassidish bacha." And the bacha dropped it. Now, when we look at it, we think that story is absurd. But it's not. It's absurd on a very cold, logical basis. This bacha felt that he was gone. I mean, nothing was left. And this is, you know, he's someone else. When he told him it's not for Chassidish Bacha, sort of subconsciously gave him the sense that he's part of a society of that he's one of the Bachrim in Chiddush HaRim or whatever it is, then he had a very different sense of himself. You know, I'd like to spend a few moments to speak about Bein HaZmanim coming up. We think of a yeshiva as a place where we get instructions, maybe some personal instructions, guidance, counseling, and so on. Those are all obviously very important, but more than anything else, a yeshiva is a world. And we call it Olam HaYeshivas. It's a world of yeshiva. It creates a society. It creates a framework. It creates a template of behaviors that are expected and norms and so on and so forth. And more than anything else, more than a direct halach and a direct musa shmuz, this is what keeps us on straight. We're b'nei yeshiva. We feel we're part of an Olam HaTorah. We feel we're part of this yeshiva. And the norms that yeshiva apply to us. We may be nichshal sometimes, but we see it as the exception, as a failure, rather than kind of who says. We have a long summer ahead of us. And what changes rapidly is, more than anything else, is this sense of belonging. Who are we? Where do we belong to? What are we? We're not part of it anymore. And that's a tremendous nisayon. Because we're now part of something else, or minimally, we're not part of the yeshiva anymore. It's important, each person, you know, everyone has a very different setup or whatever, it's very, very important that each one of us find a framework, a chabura, a chevra, those people who are zocha to go to a place where there's serious Bnei Torah is certainly wonderful. But having a chabura, chevra group, something where we still retain the sense of belonging, that is our lifeline. So even if we happen to jump into the water, but we're still tied and we're still holding on to something else. It's an understanding that the person's kochos nefesh, that his default actions will be determined by what he perceives as his society and his framework. And each person finding that way, that's his lifeline, that's his tzitzis, that holds him onto the boat. And as long as he's holding onto the boat, he's part of the boat. He's not part of the water. He's an extension of the boat in the water, not a fish in the water. Be'ez Hashem, we should be able to find that structure and be able to even grow, as long as we have the right type of chabur and the right type of environment, Be'ez Hashem, we should grow this summer, Be'ez Hashem, and come back ever strengthened as Bnei Torah, cultive.